which have been up and down already. And the most important thing is that we are standing inside out of respect and glory and honor to the Lord and to His Word. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. How many of you are hungry this morning? How many of you ate breakfast this morning? I had breakfast this morning, but you know what? I'm hungry. And then if you would also take and turn backwards to the book of Psalms, turn to Psalm 106. By the way, I love this format. I hope you are acclimating to it. I love this format that we've been doing. And it's funny, isn't it? If we were to have Brother Charlie Crawley here today, he'd probably say, "That's the way we used to do it, brother." It's funny how things have a way of coming back around. Psalm 106 and verse 15. And if you have that, would you read it out loud with me? "And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." Let's bow our heads together one more time and pray before we bring the word to you in the way of a form of a sermon this morning. God, we're so thankful, Lord, for what's happening here today. We pray right now that the word would come forth as it should, that I would speak forth as I ought to speak, and that you would give me the boldness to step through a door of utterance today, and that it would be a great encouragement, that it would spark faith, that there would be mountains removed and cast into the sea, and trees would be plucked up by the roots in our hearts and in our lives and cast into the sea, that there would be a cleansing and a moving of the Spirit among us today. And everyone said, "In Jesus' name." Yes. And the word amen means, "Let it be so. Let it be so." And we are going to preach to you today. I have about six different sermon titles, and I haven't decided which one to use yet, so we'll just preach, and whatever keeps coming out, that'll be our sermon title. Whatever it is, we don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be a mystery. I want to talk to you today about what we learned in our seminar, and I'm excited about what we have been studying, and this was probably one of the most profound things that you will ever hear, the most profound thing that you will ever discover in your personal life. And that is that when we seek God's kingdom first and foremost above everything else, when we seek God, Gary Smalley in his study mentioned to us Colossians, and when we set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Jesus says, "Let your treasure be in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt, and thieves cannot break in and steal. Let your treasure be stored up into heaven. Store not up treasures on the earth." If we could grasp a hold of this one profound truth, that the most ultimate satisfaction, that the one thing, if we could only have one thing in life, if we only had one request, if we only had one genie in the bottle and said, "You've got one request," could we possibly decide to choose the right and the appropriate thing? And if there's one thing if we were wise unto God and we understood His Word and how His kingdom works, we would say, "God, there's only one thing that I want. And that is, as the song that we were singing says, I want more of you. If I could have more of you, God, then I know that my food would be taken care of. If I could have more of you, God, I know that my clothing would be taken care of. If I could have more of you, God, I know that my house and my transportation, and I know that I would be able to be warm. I know that everything would be taken care of if I could have more of you." I like what Solomon said to God when he came to him in a vision. And he said, "Solomon, because of your father David's faithfulness to me and my love for him, I am going to give you the ultimate genie in the bottle." No, it wasn't Walt Disney that invented the genie in the bottle. And we're not saying that God is a genie in the bottle today. Please understand what I'm saying. He doesn't stand when you rub your holy Bible. You can't rub your holy Bible and then a little cloud poofs out from it. And God's standing there with a little turban on his head with his arms folded and his legs in a yoga position. And he says, what can I give to you today? You know, and this is not the way God works. But there are situations and requirements, and there must be a putting of God first. There must be an honoring and a desiring of God. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you. But if you love me and you suffer for me and you take a stand for me, then I am going to stand behind you with all of the power of eternity. I want God on my side. And so God came to Solomon in a dream by night. Because of your father David's faithfulness and because of my love for him, I am going to grant you a request. And what shall I give unto you? This is not an uncommon thing. You look into the Bible and you go into the scriptures and you'll find that in the book of Esther, when Esther came, and several other different times in the book of Daniel, when Daniel came before kings, and you look at Joseph and other ones, great men of God and women of God that stood before kings, it was not unusual for them to grant, when they were in a really good mood, they would say, just tell me what you want. Up to the half of the kingdom was one of the things that they were famous for saying. I'll give you, because they're so pleased with that person. And so it wasn't unusual for a king to bestow great favor on people just because he was happy and he was in a good mood. I'm glad to know that God is happy and in a good mood all the time. And when it comes to his people, he's always in a good mood. And he said to Solomon, ask what you will. And Solomon said, Lord, that I might have wisdom and understand, that you might give me an understanding heart. I know we often say that he asked for wisdom, and Solomon was the second wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth, but he asked for an understanding heart. Because there is such a great company of people. It's like being asked to be the president of the United States of America. If there was what an awesome responsibility, what a heavy task, what a pressure and a weight he felt on his heart. But let me tell you something about Solomon. His heart was already there. It was already in that frame of mind, and he had everything that life could offer. Yes, he did. But he said, God, give me an understanding heart, so that I might judge this people that you have put me over. And God said, I'm so pleased with what you have asked for. You didn't ask me for riches. You didn't ask me for a long life. And you didn't ask me for the necks of your enemies. But you have asked me for an understanding heart. And because I'm so pleased with what you have asked for, I am going to give you an understanding heart. But I am also going to add some things. I'm also going to give you wealth beyond your wildest imaginations. And Solomon was the wealthiest king that Israel has ever had. I am going to give you all of these other things. I'm going to give you a long and healthy and prosperous life. And I'm also going to give you the necks of your enemies because you pleased me with your request. Because he didn't ask for something selfish. God not only gave him that unselfish request, but he gave him many, many other things. And so we read there in Psalm chapter 106, God gives good things to his people, folks. If you've got God, you've got everything you need because he owns not only that we say, oh, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Come on, God doesn't own a cattle on a thousand hills. God owns every hill, every head of cattle. He owns every valley. He owns every mountain. He owns the ocean and the seas and the lakes and the rivers and the streams. God owns everything. The stars in the heaven, the meteorites, the asteroids. He owns it all. And so God has provision that we cannot imagine. And when we can get a hold of God, when we can get into a relationship, when we can get into a place even where we're just close proximity to him, the goodness of God is going to overflow into our lives. God called Moses, a great man of God, to deliver people from Israel. And this is a kind of a familiar story, but let me go through it very quickly. And he called them out of Egypt. They had been slaves there for hundreds of years. And he did some amazing things, and some amazing plagues happened and came down upon the Egyptians that were their captors and that were so mean and cruel to them. And God punished the Egyptians sorely and severely. And he brought the Israelites out with great triumph and victory, only to find themselves hemmed in and hedged in with mountains on each side, a Red Sea in front of them, and the Pharaoh's army hot on their trail. Pharaoh let them go, but he changed his mind. But the Bible says God opened up the Red Sea, and the people of Israel passed through on dry ground. They ate manna from heaven. They had all of these amazing, miraculous experiences. All these amazing and miraculous experiences. But in just a few short days, guess what started happening? The belly started growling. So God gave them manna. And guess what happened in a few short days? They got thirsty. So God gave them water from a rock. Like what Solomon said, he said, all the labor of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not filled. That word appetite is nephesh in the Hebrew, which means soul. In the Message translation, it says, we work to feed our appetite. We work to feed our appetites, yet our souls go hungry. Hallelujah. Better is the sight of the eyes, on down in verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 6. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. There's an old saying that comes from that, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. God gives us what we need. He gives us the things that are necessary. And He always gives us a little extra so that we can have some to share with somebody else. But it seems that if we lose touch with reality and we lose touch with who gave and who is giving our blessings and who is supporting us. Like Gareth Smalley said, the Lord is everything to me. He is everything that I need. And everything that I need for life and godliness can be found in Him. And in His Word, we have all of these things at our disposal. But if we don't fill our hearts with the right things, then our appetites will never be satisfied. And the Israelites had manna from heaven, which is like coriander seed. It was a wafer that had a flavor of honey, a sweet flavor of it. They weren't satisfied with that. They got fresh water from a rock that flowed through their camps. They weren't satisfied with that. They said, we need flesh. We need some meat. Everybody say meat.
Meat.
Now God had already promised, I'm bringing you to the land of Canaan, a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm bringing you to a promised land. If you'll just hang on, honey, we're going to get you there in just a few days. We're going to go to the promised land here, and there in the promised land, we're going to experience some amazing things. And you talk about meat. And the Bible's history and science will tell you that the trade winds of the earth, some of the high, powerful winds that roam the earth from pole to pole, go right over the nation of Israel. Some of the largest birds in the world migrate yearly over Israel. They were going to be living right in the hot seat. They were going to have access to fowl and meat of all kinds that was only found in different parts of the world. But in Israel, you can find them all because they fly over there every year. But they got impatient. And their mouth was watering and salivating for some meat. And then their hearts were not satisfied with the things that God had already provided and done. No matter how many miracles we see, no matter how many healings take place in our body, I can show you people that have been healed, miracles that have come to them. They are not in church anymore. They're continually searching for some other sensational excitement, something to be just satisfy the inner yearning within inside of them, but nothing can satisfy the yearning of the human soul. Nothing can satisfy the yearning of that animal sentient that is within inside of us. It doesn't matter how much you eat for lunch today. Come church time tonight, you're going to be hungry again. It doesn't matter how much water you drink today. Come tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and you're going to have hair growing in your mouth. You're going to be thirsty again. It doesn't matter how many clothes you have in the closet. After a few years, them old same old outfits are going to get, you're going to get tired of looking at them, and you're going to have a new outfit. It doesn't matter how many pair of shoes you have. It doesn't matter how many cars are in the parking lot. It doesn't matter about any of those things. You will never be satisfied with the things of this world. There is only one thing Jesus told the woman at the well of Samaria that will ever satisfy you. He said, you're going to come out here, you're going to get some water from the well, and you're going to come back tomorrow and get water from the well. And you're going to come back tomorrow and get water from the well. You're going to come back again and get more water from the well. But he said, I can give you water to drink from that you will never thirst again. I'm here to tell you that what Gary Smalley was talking about is not pie in the sky, but we need to rediscover the satisfaction that there is in being filled with the Spirit and a relationship with God. But we're filled with other things that leaves no room for God. And when I'm filled with God, it makes anything else irrelevant. The Bible says a backslider in his heart is filled with his own ways. And there's the old saying, too much, you can have too much of a good thing. Proverbs 16 says, if you eat too much honey, it's going to make you vomit. And they said, God, give us quail. They just knew, just give us meat. They just knew that that was going to satisfy their appetites. They just knew that was going to satisfy their desires. If I can just have a piece of meat, I know. I feel the craving in my body. Probably what they were experiencing was a detoxification of all of those hundreds of years of eating the fish and the food from Egypt. And they had all of those bacteria in their body. They had all sorts of, and they'll tell them what kind of toxins had been built up inside of their bodies. And they were on a fast of soul. And they were hungry, but they weren't patient, and they couldn't wait. And God was trying to teach them something, but they began to complain and began to murmur and say, we need this now. And complaining is a bad thing, folks, because complaining usually gets you what you want. If God don't give you what you want without complaining, then getting it with complaining is going to have a boomerang effect on your life. Psalm 106. Our fathers, verse 7, understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Talking about the Egyptians, and the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. And they believed his words, they sang his praise, and they soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request. But he sent leanness unto their soul. And really what that means is he sent a wasting disease. A wasting disease. Solomon, the second wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth, the only one that had more insight and more wisdom to offer than he, was when God manifests himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. When God came to this earth and embodied himself into a man and revealed himself to this world, there was wisdom that even Solomon could not foresee. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Didn't he say that? I think a virgin birth is something new under the sun, don't you? Solomon filled his life with the wealth that God gave him. He filled his life, long years, with houses and possessions, and he had something like hundreds of wives, thinking that would satisfy him. He built houses and palatial mansions and castles almost and walled cities, and he accumulated so much gold and silver, and then his sayings became so popular. He became such a popular speaker that he was better than even these retired presidents and former presidents of the United States of America. He could get a whole lot more for a speaking engagement than they could even dream about getting. He just made money every time he opened his mouth and said a word. He was making money. They came from the farthest ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon and to see the Queen of Sheba, the Bible says, came up. And she said to me, the half has not been told, just to see how much food had to be prepared just to feed his servants alone was so astounding and so overwhelming to her mind, and to hear the milk and the honey words that flowed from his lips. But Solomon said, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. We work to feed our appetites, yet our souls go hungry. Matthew Henry says, the uneasy walking of the soul after things at a distance, and the effecting of a variety of imaginary satisfactions. He is much happier that is always content, though he has ever so little, than he that is always coveting, though he has ever so much. I know that if I can get a better job, that I'll be happy. I know that if I could do this, that I'll be happy. I know that if I can get this, that I'll be happy. And oh, I can't wait to do this and do that. And it's amazing, the little endorphin rush that we get just from going out and buying some little thing. It feels so good to come home and put those groceries in the cupboard, and you know you've got food for another week. Boy, isn't that satisfying? But we are never satisfied at the deepest place of our lives. Our soul is never satisfied. Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria, he said, honey, you're going to get thirsty again. You're going to get thirsty again. But I can give you water to drink, and you will never thirst again. You know what she said? She said, give me this water. Give me this water that I may drink and never thirst again. The rich man, Jesus told a parable about a rich man. The Bible says he gathered in and his barns were full. And he said, soul, take thine ease and be at rest. The Bible says God required of him that night his life. And all of those possessions could not take him in to heaven. All of those possessions could not take him to the other side. Jesus said in the book of Mark chapter 8, if a man gains the whole world and he loses his what? And he loses his soul, well, at least he gained the whole world. He said if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, what has he profited? Money comes, money goes. Houses come, houses go. Cars come, cars go. And we're never satisfied. Jesus, through the prophet Haggai in the Old Testament, he prophesied to Ezra and to the rulers there, Zerubbabel, that were supposed to be rebuilding the temple at Jerusalem that was destroyed because the people forgot God. They forgot. They bit the hand that was feeding them. They forgot where everything was coming from. They filled themselves with everything else and they forgot God. No room left for God. So God allowed their own lifestyle to float upon them. And this is his prophecy that he made to them in Haggai chapter number 1. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. How many of you got one of them bags that he's talking about? Put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Everything that they were doing, everything that they were trying to do, all of their efforts and their labors were to make themselves more comfortable, to try to make themselves more happy. But anybody that's happy knows that the path to happiness is not found in trying to make yourself happy. Come on now. Everybody knows that the path to happiness is not found in trying to make yourself happy. But true happiness is found in making and trying to make others happy. And that's not what you think or what you imagine it to be. To where that we're just a doormat for people, and that we're constantly out there. But the Bible says he that would find his life will lose it. But he that loseth his life shall find it. When we live in the realm of God's being filled with God's Spirit, when we live in the realm of being completely filled with God, where his Spirit is giving us all that we need, we will experience a depth and a level of happiness and satisfaction that cannot be found in any other way. Let's all stand together, if you would, today. And we're going to dismiss you in just a few short moments. But I want us to bow our heads this morning, if you would. And I want us to ask God to search our hearts. Have we forgotten where the blessings have come from? America, have we forgotten where we came from? Who gave us the strength and the sustenance to build this great country? Have we forgotten? Have we become a culture of forgetful hearers? We need to look into the mirror of the Word of God today. Do we really think that husband is going to set? Do we really think that wife is going to satisfy? Do we really think that new job is going to set? Do we really think that new possession is going to satisfy? Do we really think if we had 3 more friends that would satisfy? Do we really think that if we got some sort of recognition, got on the radio like Brother Rob, that was going to satisfy? Do we really think if our paper was plastered on the front page, that would satisfy? Do we really think that if the lights were flashing and it was us coming down the red carpet, that would satisfy? There is no satisfaction. All of our days and labors are spent to fill up our appetites. But Solomon said, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, and the ear is not satisfied with hearing. But true satisfaction is found in being filled with the Spirit of God. In pursuing Him with everything within inside of us. When we pursue God with everything that is within inside of us, then and only then will we truly know what it is to not be thirsty, to not be hungry, but to be completely filled, to be full. Some of us in here, maybe we're full and have been full in time from time to time, but we have become forgetful about where our blessings have come from. We need to recommit ourselves to getting our hearts and our lives filled with God. Let's pray together right now, would you? Ask God to fill your life. Are you willing to let go?